Welcome to another iteration of Behind the Beard WNC, a podcast where five friends gather around the table and we banter about high school football mostly, but it can go off the rails at any time. And we've got Derek Green, Lewis Anderson, and Mike Anderson, and they're not related in any way, and we are missing, or we have, I guess, in ghost form, Carson Jones, who's not here. But yeah. I don't know why. Why isn't Carson here
I think
today?
He's out working on a baseball field, something about a verbal commitment. I'm not sure.
Something like that, yeah. I think it's work-related. He's got a meeting tomorrow, an hour away, so he had to leave at midday today, I think, to get there.
What, was he walking somewhere?
Well, you wouldn't let him use the helicopter or the plane.
Well,
so.
No, being that they're both models.
You have models you can't flying
even,
them?
Couldn't Wait. Even put Lego characters in.
You have models that live at your house?
No, I
nice.
Don't.
Nice.
Good night, Pat. That must be nice. What does Mary say?
Agony.
We'll have to ask Carson.
That's what she says a lot.
We'll have to ask Carson if the golf clubs made the trip with him.
I'm going to say probably
100%.
So. 100%. Oh, man. So did you guys happen to catch the college football? A lot of high school and college football on this past weekend.
Yeah, it was a good weekend.
I know Lewis was watching intently on Saturday morning. How'd that go?
How did that go?
Lewis, of course, a Florida State fan.
Yeah, it was good to watch it start at 8:30, college game day all morning, preparing. And then the game sucked, so.
It was a good game.
It was a good game, yeah.
It was a good game.
It was a good game.
There were a lot of comments that I noticed about the Florida State team being the first team in the ACC to be ranked 17th, but I don't quite get what they were. Was that? I guess that's a joke or something. I'm not aware of why that would be brought up.
They expanded to 17 total teams for the first time in ACC history, so they're on the bottom.
They're currently 17th.
They're the most bottom that the ACC has ever been.
Thanks.
Yes. I thought, okay.
Thanks, Pat.
Well, no, the reason why I asked that is I thought somebody was making some sort of jab, Lewis, to the point of that Florida State, even before they even started the season, starting out eliminated from the playoffs, some like the old Cubs joke that you got all the time. That, all right, the baseball season's getting ready to start, so the Cubs have been mathematically eliminated from that. I thought it was that kind of a joke.
I mean, it was week zero, so Florida State going into week one, 0-1.
Sorry.
I honestly don't know, and I don't have an axe to grind against Florida State. I'm very much in your camp from last season. I think they got robbed out of that.
I love that they got robbed, and then Nick Saban picked them to make the first four of the selections this year, right?
Yeah.
Screw you, Nick Saban.
I do like the tenacity of the Florida State fans and how they let Kirk Herbstreit have it the entire morning.
Yeah, have you guys ever been to a game in Tallahassee?
No.
So that same atmosphere is from 2 hours before the game till whenever after the game. I mean, it's the same atmosphere throughout the whole time. It's a fantastic place to go watch.
I bet. So, Derek released some big news this week. Derek, you want to share your big news?
Yeah. So my wife and I are having a little baby girl. Baby girl will be here in January of 2025.
So then your hair will soon look like mine.
It will. And my wallet will be empty.
None of us know how it is to raise a daughter.
Except me.
Wait, you have a daughter?
Oh, that's right.
I do. It's also why I have gray hair.
It's better for it to look like Pat's than to look like Lewis's.
That's true.
I was about to say, you know, it's better to turn gray than to turn loose is what they always say. So,
indeed.
So some big news today. We were actually just got the alert from ESPN about the lawsuit filed, NIL lawsuit. Derek, do you have some specifics on that? You got anything?
You know, I didn't read too much about it today, but I did see it's the mother of the Grimsley quarterback. And Grimsley, for those in Western North Carolina that don't know, Grimsley is in Greensboro. He's a five-star quarterback, ranked, you know, top 10 quarterback in the country. He's going to Tennessee next fall, and she is suing, I believe it's going to be the State Board of Education, because they are the ones that are saying no NIL.
Right, because the NCHSA. Yeah, those guys said it was okay, and then the school board overruled them and said, no, it's not okay.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see what that happens. I know we've kind of talked with Coach Walker, you know, a couple of weeks ago about, you know, the independents or the private schools being allowed to get NIL. So if that, you know, that's one plus for, you know, the big time college recruits to go to the private schools, because they can start making that money earlier. So if public schools can kind of even the playing field and do that as well, you know, you may see some guys like the tight end that went to
Providence Day.
Providence Day. From he may stay at Reidsville as opposed to going to Providence Day.
So is the school board then make it illegal for the kids to work at like Home Depot or Chick-fil-A or anything like that?
I don't believe so. No.
So help me understand why they have that kind of ground that they can stand on.
You know, Pat, you seem to...
The labor laws say that you have to be 16, I believe, in the state of North Carolina to earn a worker's income. Yeah, that's right. You can be 15 with a worker's permit. That's right, Mike. Yeah.
I was working at Winn-Dixie at 15.
So the difference between an NIL deal and a job at Chick-fil-A is what?
Probably a little more cash.
Well, obviously. It's a free market society. Unless I'm mistaken, are we socialist now or was this...
Well, I think we've been that way for a while, Pat.
We're going off the rails here. How are we depriving somebody of making a living?
It blows my mind. I don't know.
Obviously, we don't know the number, but they refer to it as life-changing money.
So let it change his life.
I mean, I agree.
I agree. I do. I think, you know, the window for football players is so small. You know, I mean, the injury risk is always there. I believe, you know, and I hate to say this, but, you know, a quarterback in Alabama died for an injury sustained in the game last weekend. And so, I mean, you never know. I mean, the good Lord can call you home whenever he wants to. And, you know, you got to make the most of the money that you have and the opportunities that you have to make that money for your family and for your future.
So maybe you should get the recruiting board together, Mike. You guys need a new quarterback?
Oh, man. Yeah. Might be a little late on this guy.
Send the greenies down to Greensboro.
Yeah. I mean, I'm fine to do a little recruiting. It's legal for the parents to do it.
Right, right.
Yeah. As long as I'm not paid by the school. So.
Interesting.
It is interesting, and it's coming. I mean, it's got
to
be coming.
It has to be.
Every state around us already allows it.
That's because it's a free market society.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I agree. It's like Coach Walker said, those kind of kids, they don't have time to get a job.
Yeah.
They don't have time. If you're a top 1% athlete, you're working on your craft. You're lifting, you're running, I would think. I've never been a 1% athlete.
No, nor have I.
I would think.
In my mind, baby.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, Lewis, your son is an entrepreneur.
Oh, yeah.
He, as I recall, he does landscaping businesses, that sort of thing, of his own accord.
Correct.
And does the state restrict his ability to earn that living while he's playing his athletics?
No restrictions there. Really? It's crazy, right?
But what if he's making $48 million a year doing landscaping?
It doesn't matter. Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
You just got to make sure you pay your taxes.
Well, that would also be of lawful behavior. Right. I'm in support of paying the taxes.
Pat doesn't have to pay much tax.
I pay more than my fair share, Mr. Anderson.
Some would say more than doctors, but who knows?
Agony.
Oh, man. It's a hot-button subject right now. So, probably need to mention also, sad news out of Rossman.
Yeah, geez.
A couple young men lost their life on a four-wheeler. Was it Saturday night?
Saturday night, yeah.
So. Or early Sunday morning.
Yeah.
So I hate to hear that.
Yeah, definitely. Thoughts and prayers with those families in that community.
As a team that goes up against them every year, the feeling at home was, hey, we hate that for them, you know?
Right. I hope Lewis and I had a conversation before the show. I hope they're able to continue the football season.
Yeah, because by the time we got last year playing them, they were basically playing Iron Man. Mm. So if you lose two people, I mean, you're in tough shape. So you know, hopefully they do get to continue and honor these guys at every game, of course.
I saw a Facebook post that on the scoreboard there. They put 68 and then 6 on the scores. I thought that was a pretty cool thing.
Definitely.
Sorry. Yeah.
So first week of high school football in the books, guys.
Yes.
Very exciting. There were some
good games.
There were some scores I don't think we expected.
The majority of us didn't expect that.
Yeah, I definitely did not.
So, Lewis, where did you end up Friday night?
I was up at Owen versus Inca.
That's right. What were you doing?
I was running the chains.
Running the chains.
Yep.
Exciting stuff.
It was. It was a good time. I love running the chains.
Were you contributing your opinion to the officiating group?
We had good conversations. I worked with one of the guys that was officiate. So, yeah. It was a good time.
I've always said if I could do the chains, I would not yell because you're so close.
No, it's good to have conversations with them.
Right. Yeah, and it's interesting, too, I would imagine, to, you know, kind of listen to what the opposing coaches are saying on the sideline and kind of, the vibes.
Yeah.
Lewis was sending smoke signals to the other day.
Just kidding. Connor Stallions, 101.
Where'd you end up, Derek?
I went to the High. I was at Asheville. Watched them play Tuscola.
Did you get secondary high?
No, I did not. Okay, no, okay. There was a waft or two, but you know, we just kind of. I sat up in the top corner and listened to some old men yell.
And, I think we expected that one to be a little bit closer.
Yeah. Asheville dominated from start to finish. Tuscola had one kickoff return that was, you know, a decent play for them, but just couldn't get anything going.
I saw the pictures that you posted on the group thread about their stadium. They do have a gorgeous
it's
stadium.
Beautiful, there. Beautiful.
You saw it on Sunday?
Yeah, or Monday, whenever it was. I went through the 6,000 text messages you guys sent.
And that was actually the first time that I'd ever sat on the Asheville side, too. So it was an even better view to, you know, view the school in the background. And it was awesome. It was awesome. Good Friday night high school experience.
And, Pat, I'm sure you were at Reynolds for the closest game of the week.
Yes. And I missed the touchdown that happened for AC Reynolds in the beginning because 3 minutes into our broadcast, the camera died and went offline, and obviously needed to address that. So I just left the call to Chris St. Ange. I don't even know if we were on the air when that was happening, but he was trying to do a radio call while I was running around to the breaker board and the wiring and trying to fix it and get it back online. So all that passed. But
new system go well? You enjoy it?
It did not go well. The camera is beautiful. The picture is amazing. And our ads all ran. By the way, we're sponsors on that live stream. Very nice. Our logo's up there, and that's kind of cool.
Did the commercial get up?
No, I have to. That's not done yet. I haven't gotten it all over to West yet, but Carolina Sports Studios will put that together for us, and it'll fire next week. But the ads that we did have, and we got a couple of hype videos from Carolina Sports Studios, and those really came across and looked well. And, you know, we can activate the camera on the MacBook. So now it's like, in the beginning of when you see the broadcast on Sunday and Saturday, it shows the announcers for just a little bit of talking.
Oh, there you go.
We did that. Yes. And I had Chris, he wanted no part of that. I said, man, you got to get over here and get in the picture. Yeah. We're talking about stuff.
Got to get your FaceTime.
Would you have been able to see him over the counter?
Jeez. Chris has got a good face for radio.
Indeed. So do I, for that matter. But no, yeah, that's where we're ACR, and that, you know, obviously a very close game. I was surprised about some stuff in that game for sure. I'm sure we're going to get into it. So, yeah, and you know, it was exhausting because the next morning, Mary and I were up at the crack of dawn heading to Richmond for EKU Fan Day up in Richmond, Kentucky, where Brendan. Brendan got in several series up there, and he looked good. He looked good. He's undersized still a little bit, but. He got a pancake block, and I think he only let one guy get by him.
Nice.
So at what point did Mary take your cell phone from you?
I don't know that she did. Why?
Because you didn't text us all weekend.
Quit responding till last night.
We were worried about you.
I was busy.
Almost called the Coast Guard.
Yeah, did you? Even though it's nowhere near water.
In Kentucky.
You're going to call the Coast Guard, aren't you? That would have been very helpful. Oh, unless I'd fallen into a bourbon vat or something up there near Lexington, then maybe.
That was after the game.
That was after the game, yeah. I was at East Burke, and I sent the comment to you guys. Have you ever been to a stadium where the press box is on the visitor side? And Derek said, yeah, East Burke.
Yeah, and Weddington is too.
Really?
Yes, it is. Okay. Yeah, I didn't think of that until literally just now, but it is, yeah.
So an older guy shared with us that it used to be the home side, but the sun is in your face for the first part of the game. So they switched it, so now they're on the visitor side. I'm like, do you switch it back halfway through the year when it gets cold and you want the sun? Like, no, we just stay over there. So it wasn't that bad. By the time the game started, the sun was behind the trees.
Right.
But anyway. So let's talk about the picks. I have a clip I want to play here. Go ahead. This is Carson.
I'm fully aware of how the spread works.
What was that? Play it one more time.
One more time.
I'm fully aware of how the spread works.
Carson may not have been fully aware of how the spread works going 4-5 this week. So here's the standings from last week. Derek, my friend, 3-6.
Ooh, it was not good.
Pat, 3-6.
I'll eat my humble pie, that's for sure.
Lewis, 3-6.
It happens.
And we all pick different games.
Yeah.
Carson, 4-5. And I came in at 8-1.
Look at him. Look at that
head swell.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys remember where I finished last year, right?
Oh, yeah.
Last.
Well, you know,
But we were only separated by a few games, right? Right.
There's 10 more weeks left.
Yeah, 10 more weeks.
It's a long road to go.
It's not where you start, right? It's where you finish.
Right.
So let's talk a little bit about the games that were played. What do y'all think?
Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do that. That's kind of why we're here.
So let's start out in Black Mountain.
Mm.
Inca rolled into town to take on Owen. Owen was getting 10.5 from Inca. Inca able to cover as they win 48-0. Mike, the only one who got this one right. Lewis, you want to give us kind of the what happened?
Well, I'll start off by saying what Coach Faircloth said. When you're trying to build a culture and they're on the ground floor, sometimes being on the ground floor of creating something special isn't that fun. And, I mean, you've seen that on Friday night. Inca was well prepared for this game after playing us in JV on Thursday. And, wow. We didn't have any positive yards till the second half. So it was pretty tough game. We did score there at the end. But, you know, like he's saying, he's the third coach in 4 years trying to build something there. And I think what he is doing is good. And hopefully throughout the season we'll see them get better and better.
How many players dressed for Owen?
Oh, I think it was only like 20. And, you know, a lot of those are 8-quarter guys. Yeah. So you take that away, you're down to like 12, 13.
It's tough.
So yeah. It's probably even tough to practice.
Well, you
11 on 11.
They're practicing everybody together, JV and varsity. So they do have, you know, 22 out there. But, yeah, it's not 22 varsity players.
Gotcha. That's tough. No stats on this game. So tough break for Owen. And they look to rebound this week. They got another chance. So second up, we'll do Pisgah Brevard. We have a clip. Go ahead with the clip.
This could be one of the best games of the year. So I think when we look back, this could come down to a field goal, which makes it tough because they have to win by more than a field goal. But I am going to go with Pisgah here.
Carson missed it again.
35-0.
Brevard wins 35-0. Yeah.
Now, you guys couldn't have guessed, though, that this was going to go this way, because I think we all thought this.
Well, there were two of us that thought it might go this way, and their names were Derek and Mike.
That's right. You guys did not think it was going to be a shutout.
No.
35-0. No way you did.
So, quick stats. They were led by Kessinger, the quarterback, 9-17 for 121 yards, or 2 TDs. They had two running backs, Thompson, 5 rushes for 100 yards and a TD. Skinner rushed it 12 times for 65 and a TD. They had their senior linebacker, Judson Weaver, had 6 tackles, 3 for a loss. So for Pisgah, pretty abysmal stats. Aaron Clark, who I consider the top quarterback in the area, 4 of 7 for 19 yards. He also had 6 rushes for 21. He was the team leader in both stats.
Not ideal.
Yeah, that's a tough night for Pisgah. We knew they were missing a player. Pat's right. I did not expect 35-0.
Absolutely no. We all thought it was going to be like a touchdown or less, right? So
yeah.
And you look at those stats, and obviously, you know, Pisgah doesn't want to throw the ball, but you know, whenever you only have 7 pass attempts, you know, it's you become pretty one dimensional. It makes it really hard to catch up when you get behind a couple scores.
Yeah,
it can snowball on you fast.
Pisgah got a get-right game this week. We'll talk about it a little bit later. So next up, Newton Conover headed over to West Henderson. West Henderson was given 42.5 points. Not able to cover, they do win 51-33. Carson, Pat, Lewis, Mike got this one right. Who got it wrong?
Derek.
That's right, Derek.
That would be me.
Derek.
Indeed.
Too much faith in the Falcons, but, you know.
This was at one time I looked, it was 44-33, and I was like, oh.
And I think it was, you know, trending towards a blowout at halftime. So Newton Conover must have made some big adjustments and came out guns blazing in the second half.
West Henderson had 2 running backs over 100 yards. Zane McGraw, 18 carries for 211 yards and a touchdown.
Mm.
And Desion Murray, 13 carries, 149 yards and a touchdown. So they both averaged more than 11 yards a carry.
That's good.
Does that say something about their offensive line?
Probably pretty good.
Yeah,
probably.
It also says something about the defensive line of each team.
Of Newton Conover.
Yeah.
Well, so next up, a game we all got incorrect. Christ School went to East Burke. Christ School was favored by 40.5. Not able to cover. Christ School wins 26-0. None of us got it right. Like I said, they were led by Mason Holtzclock, quarterback, 12 of 18, 98 yards. Jackson Cancel led the way on the ground, 17 carries, 80 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Jordan Edgecombe on defense, 10 tackles, 2 for a loss, and a fumble recovery for a TD.
How did the quarterback look?
He looked better as the game went on.
Yeah.
He did.
How about opposed to last year?
Well, he looked better than he looked at times last year. Early on, just out of sync. Part of it, you know, some of these kids have only known each other for 3 weeks. Where a lot of these other schools, they've been playing together their whole life. So just getting the timing down. We missed a wide open receiver deep, like 50 yards down the field 3 times. Easily been 3 touchdown passes. So I think they get better as the year goes on, but they did win this one.
Any other surprises in your viewing of this game, Mike? Anything stand out? What about the lines?
I'll be honest, Eastburg not a very good football team, but I do not think they have positive yards. The most concerning thing for me as a Christ School fan, 11 encroachment penalties.
Oh.
Ooh. So we had well over 100 yards of penalties. So not being able to stay on sides.
Were they doing a lot of fake count?
It was just the deal where the linemen go to the knees and then, you know, the quarterback says set and they go down in the 3-point stance.
Yeah.
It had us fooled like we'd never seen that before. Come on, guys. And it was all night long. It was from the first quarter to the fourth quarter.
Well, the big question, you made a vow not to sit in the stands this year, right?
For home games.
Oh, for home games.
There's nowhere else to sit at some of these places.
Okay, so you sat in the stands.
I did.
Did you yell at all?
Not much.
Not much, but you did yell some.
So they kept messing up the play clock.
Okay.
So one time I yelled about the play clock. That was everybody else was yelling too. It wasn't like I was the one guy standing up.
I'm proud of you for that progress.
I felt like I kept it on.
Like that was a moment you could yell.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was appropriate.
Well, good. So I'm proud of you. That's personal growth.
It is. It is. I sat with the two families from the Anderson area. Because my last name's Anderson.
There you go.
Was it the pastor?
Yeah, it was the quarterback's dad and then one of the D linemen.
Okay.
So anyway.
Now how did Luke look?
Luke looked fantastic. He made his blocks, he did his thing. I mean,
yeah. Did he have fun?
I think he did. Yeah. Winning's always fun, right? We're 1-0.
That's
we
true.
Won our first game to week 5 last year.
Oh, that's true. I remember that.
It was a tough year.
Winning cures what ails you, for sure.
Yeah.
Now, you'll be happy to know that I yelled very loudly at the Eastern Kentucky scrimmage.
Well, that's good. Wait, they were playing each other.
I know. Do you want to hear the story?
I mean, yeah.
Did the cheerleaders come out there or something?
Yeah, the cheerleaders were out there and the dance team. So it was over. The scrimmage was over, and all the families were lined up over by the walkway that the players come out of the locker rooms underneath the visitor stand there. So they come out down there and walk upstairs. So everybody's over there waiting for everybody to come out as it got done. And, you know, we're all just chit-chatting over there, BSing. And all of a sudden, one mother goes, oh no, like that. Or it's like something's wrong. And so I turn around and I look. And there's this big field back behind the visitor stand, just big grass field, but then a tree line on the other side. And there is a skunk walking across the tree line. But it's nowhere near us. We're fine. It's like 100 yards away. But there are two little kids making a beeline for that skunk. So I start yelling, no, 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 no. And all the other moms and dads then turn and look. And everybody's yelling at these two kids, get the heck away from that thing. That was pretty funny.
That would have been fantastic to ride home with.
Oh, can you imagine if you're the parent? And you're like, what the heck happened? Oh,
I blame people like you for what's wrong with America. I mean, you should have let them learn a life lesson right there.
No, that is not a lesson anybody needed to learn.
Absolutely.
Oh, wow.
All right. So the other private school game, Asheville School, Hayesville. I think we have a clip to play here.
Absolutely.
Hayesville's getting 22.5. I like Hayesville to win outright.
Oh, my. Oh.
Wow. That's what Derek said last week.
Yeah. That went down the toilet.
Asheville School 49, Hazel 7. I read a comment today on the message boards. Hazel was the toughest team on the field. Oh, were they? Down 42. That's great.
Yeah. Congrats.
Congrats on being the toughest. Asheville School led by Ricky Tolbert, 8 of 11, 107 yards. He had 2 carries for 76 yards. Running back, I'm going to mess his name up, Marvin Lazar, 8 carries, 127 yards, and 2 TDs. Gilowitz led the way on defense with 15 tackles. Hazel had 245 yards rushing as a team. So 21-7 at half. Asheville School had a pretty big second half. So exciting stuff. Next up, a little bit of a surprise. Oh, by the way, Carson and Mike picked the Asheville School game correctly. Daniel Boone at Irwin. Carson, Pat, and Mike got this one right. Irwin wins 56-0.
How about them? How about those Warriors?
There's got to be. That's a surprise. I mean, got to be. 56-0.
Or maybe Daniel Boone's fell that much, right, from 2 years ago.
Maybe so. Maybe him and Davy Crockett not getting along.
Yeah, maybe so. I saw a picture of them shaking hands afterwards. Didn't look like too many bodies on the Daniel Boone sidelines.
Oh, really?
Mm. Depth may have played a role in that. Of course, you know, it's you can't really blame depth when they're down 40-something to nothing at halftime.
Caden Engel led the way, 8 of 10, 175 yards, 3 touchdowns, and rushed it once for 41. Two running backs, Marion Smith, 4 carries for 92, and Deja Ray, 8 carries for 78. Michael Petty had 2 catches for 102 yards and 2 touchdowns. That's a pretty good day. 2 catches, about 50 yards apiece, and they were both touchdowns.
You keep throwing that guy the ball until he doesn't score anymore.
Yeah. Judah Dayton led the way on defense with 14 tackles. So Michael Petty, I mentioned 2 catches, 202 yards. Also had 85 return yards, so pretty good day. Pretty good day.
Yeah, pretty good day.
Irwin, we'll see. We'll see. They got a challenge this week. We'll see.
Who are they playing this week?
Mount Heritage. So next up, Watauga at TC. I think we have a clip here, Lewis.
So do we have to play this clip?
Play it.
Okay. I really think TC wins this hands down, and they just set the tone for winning the MAC this year.
Wow.
Not the best clip.
So, indeed. Watauga was given 5.5. They win 14-0. Watauga scored a TD in the first quarter and the second quarter, and after that appeared to be a stalemate. No stats for either team that I could find.
So TC adjusted.
On defense, yes.
Yeah,
so 14-0. And that's two teams that like to run a similar offense. They were probably done by 8:45.
It was done. I think they were in the third quarter when Asheville was at halftime, late in the third. It was done.
We finished at 10:45.
Oh, that's late.
What time was kick? 7:30?
Yes. Yes, 7:30. So TC loses 14-0. Watauga, tough opponent. Tough opponent.
I'm not giving up on TC for the MAC, just so you know.
Okay.
Watauga's a good team.
So next up, Tuscola at Asheville. Asheville given 13.5. Lewis, Mike, Derek get this one correct. Asheville wins 42-6, so not a close game. Meek Slidell was 7 of 10 for 68 yards and 2 TDs. Only played the first half because of an injury. Running back Josh Ellis had a huge game, 9 carries for 195 yards, 3 touchdowns, and caught 1 pass for 14 yards and a touchdown. Kareem Plummer also had 74 yards rushing. Caden Ray led the way, receiving 5 for 53 and a touchdown. Tuscola. Jet Bartley, former Reynolds backup, 9 of 15, 118 yards and a TD. Running back Williamson, 11 for 66. Wide receiver Bridger Jones, 4 catches for 60 and a TD. So that Tuscola offense going to have to adapt post-Jed West.
Very much so.
Yeah, and as we've seen in that game we went and watched, I mean, he was like 90% of the offense.
Yeah, that Tuscola Pisgah game.
Whether it was pass and run, he handled everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, Court talked a little bit about that freshman. I believe his name is Caden Ray that you were talking about. Dude, he's not very big, but he's got some wiggle. He'll be good for him.
And lastly, Wes Forsyth at Reynolds. Lewis and Mike got this one right. Wes Forsyth given 5.5. Score, Wes Forsyth 19, Reynolds 13. Wes Forsyth was led by quarterback Riley Horton. Must be the do-it-all guy. 9 of 18 through the air for 116 yards and a TD. Had 13 carries for 131 yards and a TD. Rockets led by Eli Hemrick, new quarterback. 13 of 27 for 92 yards. That's 7.1 yards per completion. He also rushed it 9 times for 20. Max Guest led the way on the ground. 13 carries for 70 yards. Also caught a pass for 28 yards. Tremaine Keeter, 4 catches for 29. And senior, you're going to have to help me with this one, Pat. The senior, Daniel
Angulo, I believe is how you say it.
Had 9 tackles.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go ahead and say it. I don't think their defense was Swiss cheese, Lewis.
No.
No, I mean, but it seemed like that offensive line might have been.
So the Rockets did no touchdowns.
Craig always, right?
Why do we doubt him?
Yeah.
Never doubt him.
Coach Craig, I mean, he's probably the best coach in America, as we said all last year. He can always figure out a way.
Pat, any insights from being there?
So to keep on the defensive side of things, I was a little surprised. I mean, Coach Craig had his hands full to get a defense on the field, but he did it. Angulo had obviously a great game, and it was interesting because they bent, but they never really broke and kept it, I thought, to a point where it was a winnable game. You know, I think that Reynolds had their opportunities that they could have gotten this one, and it got away from them a little bit. Offensively, Lewis was right. There was quite a bit of penetration that forced Hamrick to, you know, be a little rattled in there. And, you know, he didn't do a bad job, I don't think, at quarterback, but he's still, you know, he's just learning the system. You alluded to it earlier, Mike. The rest of these kids have been playing their whole lives, and Hamrick is his first time back there, and he's still, you know, trying to figure everything out. And I'm sure, you know, having those guys chasing after him and stuff and flushing him out, Now, you obviously have Keeter. It was the prime receiver I thought he was trying to get to, and Tyven Patterson. And Keeter's, you know, I think he's that Asheville transfer and, you know, very talented, very fast. Max Guest, I don't think he had quite the yards he was obviously hoping to have. But when he got out in space, it was just like any other one. I mean, the kid's unbelievably talented, so the more that obviously he can get hands on the ball in some way, the better. He, I think the pass that he caught was the last pass of the game, and he caught that, and, you know, he was trying to make something happen, and he was dragging defenders down the field while trying to figure out how to lateral it to, like, Keeter or somebody over there. So, I mean, he was really it was impressive to watch him do his thing. But, yeah, I think they've got to go back and take a look at that and see if they can't get a little bit better efficiency on offense, I think. But, the defense was a pleasant surprise.
So, Max Guest, 13 carries. So, he had about 3 carries per quarter. Could they have used him a little more, or was there just nothing there?
Well, I would wager that guy may be a better question for Derek Green. He knows the X's and O's a lot better than I do. But, I mean, there's a reason. You know, Coach Morgan's not a dumb man. I mean, he's a pretty smart offensive coordinator. So what he's calling him, why he's calling it, I've no doubt there's a reason for what he was doing. So,
if he's calling an RPO, maybe he pulled it and didn't hand it.
That could be. You know, and maybe he was holding on to the ball a little too long. I don't know. So, I mean, I'm sure they're going to figure that out.
I was just wondering. I mean, that's not a lot of carries, I would think.
Well, from film we watched, everything that is a completion has to come out super fast.
Yes.
Almost like Eli has no time.
And they were rolling him out quite a bit out of the pocket there, at least in the second half when I was noticing. Like I said, I missed literally the first quarter of the game dealing with the electrical issues of the camera, so I didn't get to see, like, the first two series on offense.
Tell the truth. You were late to the game.
No, I was not late to the game. I was plenty early, so.
Yeah, but like you said, you know, when you get penetration, you know, everybody says, well, just move the pocket. Okay, well, then that cuts down half the field that the quarterback's able to look at.
Right.
Switches all 11 guys on defense into half of the field. So it's like, you know, I go back to the Asheville game. I was sitting up there, and there was this old man sitting next to me, and Meek had gotten hurt. He was already out. Asheville had won the game. The whole first half, the guy had been like, you know, spread the field. We need to throw the ball, blah, 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 blah. And then Meek comes out, and they try to throw a little bubble screen, and, you know, it's the backup quarterback. You know, they miss it. It becomes a fumble, and Tuscola picks it up and runs it the other way for a few yards. Nice call, coach. Nice call. Like, man, come on. Like, shut your mouth, man.
Every call is
wrong. Everybody sitting up there in the bleachers knows, you know, hindsight's 20/20. But there's always a reason for every play call, and, you know, everybody's – you know, you can sit here and second guess all you want, but in the heat of the moment when that play clock's running down and you've got your plan and you feel good about it that you've practiced all week, you know, it is what it is.
Indeed. Indeed.
I will say this, too, about the penetration on the line. That defensive line for West Forsyth, those are some big, big boys.
There's no doubt West Forsyth, a good football team.
Oh, yeah.
They've got some dogs, and I think the back end had a few Division I commits as well. I think I saw – Carson sent me one that was going to Mercer. So, you know, they got players all over the field.
And Hamrick had some darts that went in there toward Keeter a couple of times, and there was some brilliant defensive back play. I mean, the guy came right back off the hip, got his hand right in between Keeter's and popped the ball at least twice I saw. So
yeah.
Yeah. They got another tough one this week. So player of the week, we decided to go with Josh Ellis from Asheville. 9 carries, 195 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 1 catch for 14 yards and a touchdown. So that's a fantastic week for Josh Ellis.
Absolutely.
For sure. He's the straw that stirs the drink over in downtown Asheville. He can play.
They've got some veteran guys over there.
And Josh is a senior, isn't he?
I believe so.
Yeah. Yes. He came over from McDowell last year as a junior.
Yeah.
So, senior. So this week, some exciting games. What do you guys think? You want to talk about them?
Let's do it.
Let's do that.
We're here.
Let's start with Inca at Pisgah. Of course, Inca picks up the win last week, 48-8. Pisgah picks up the loss, 35-0. Not a lot of offense out of Pisgah last week. Inca had a pretty good week. So I'm assuming, Pat, you're picking Inca. Go ahead.
I am going to take Inca. But let me be clear. Pisgah is going to win this game. I have no doubt.
Correct.
The reason why I don't think that they're going to get the 42 points is what you just said. I haven't seen either one of these two play other than Pisgah was in the jamboree that we saw.
They look good.
Yeah, and they did look good in there. So they're showing against Brevard. I mean, okay.
Is Brevard that good?
Right, and then so, okay. I think Pisgah is going to win the game, but I don't see them, at least at this point, I don't see them making the spread at 42.
Last year, I should have shared this, Pisgah wins 56-3. It seems like anytime Pisgah plays the lower half of the MAC, they like to beat them just as bad as Reynolds does.
And this will wind up having to be the half point spread. So the spread's actually going to be, what, 42.5?
42.5.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to take Inca and the points.
Derek, what do you think?
Yeah, 42 is a lot to cover. I found that out last week. You know, West Henderson let me down.
And Christ School.
And Christ School let me down. So I'm gonna flip the script and, you know, watch Pisgah cover, like you said, where they like to beat up on the little guys. But, you know, both teams like to run the football. And when you get that going, you know, that clock runs pretty fast. 42 is a lot to cover. I like Inca to cover the 42.5.
Pat, who did Carson pick?
Oh, yes, Carson, in all his wisdom and knowledge, has shared that Pisgah will cover a 42.5.
Can you play Carson's clip one more time?
I'm fully aware of how the spread works.
Okay. Just making sure.
Okay.
Lewis, what do you think?
I'm going to go with Inca, too. I don't think either team is going to break it out to a 42-point spread.
I hate to do it, but I agree with you guys. I thought I was going to pick one up here. I thought everybody would ride Pisgah, but Inca didn't. You know, they're not terrible last week. Pisgah, I don't know. I'm going Inca as well.
And I've seen Inca play. They're not as bad as they were last year.
All right. So next up, we have Owen at North Buncombe. Both teams 0-1. Owen, of course, loses 48-8 to Inca. Looking to rebound this week. North Buncombe also loses 28-22 to East Henderson. East Henderson breaking a 16-game losing streak.
Almost 2 years.
Wow. Yeah. So that's a big win for East Henderson. I think North Buncombe had some higher expectations. Last year, North Buncombe wins 32-13. Who did Carson pick?
Carson, in all his wise wisdom and being from that area, has gone with North Buncombe to cover the 13.5-point spread.
Carson really? Also sent a statement. Go ahead.
He says, the vibe in Weaverville isn't the same as it was last year to start the season. A lot of scrutiny in the community. North Buncombe athletics is the talk of the town, but not for the right reasons.
Carson lives it. He's out there in Weaverville.
He's got the pulse.
The pulse. Pat, or I'm sorry, Lewis, what do you think?
I think I'm going to take Owen on this one. I think this might be a get-right game for him when we come back and actually win this one.
Derek?
I got to go with North Buncombe here. I think they cover. You know, we kind of talked about it earlier. It's really hard to win with, you know, 20 players. And a lot of Ironman football going on in the Valley, and I think North Buncombe and their depth kind of helps them on Friday night.
Pat?
I couldn't say it any better than what Derek just said, so I'm going to echo that. I'm taking North Buncombe and 13.5 points. Mm. Or I'm giving up 13.5 points, rather.
Go ahead, Mike. Pick them.
Listen, They won, but North Muncombe wins by 20 this year or last year. I just don't know that Owen is that much better. Like Coach Fairclough said, the ground level isn't always fun. I'm also going to ride North Buncombe.
I appreciate that pick. I'm getting on all y'all.
Yeah, I hope you do. You can play it.
You can play the clip next week.
I'll say this to you, Lewis. I'm pulling for Owen. That's who I would like
to see. I'm glad I got your sympathy vote.
Yeah. It's not sympathy. I am pulling for Owen.
So next up, an interesting game. It's a pick 'em, and it's Brevard at Knoxville Catholic. So this is going to be a true litmus test for Brevard to see how good they are. Last year, Brevard loses 40-13. Knoxville Catholic has beat Lakeway Christian 50-13. They're led by their quarterback, Bartholomew. He was 13 of 16 for 311 yards and four touchdowns.
That poor kid in kindergarten.
That's his last name.
Okay.
As a team, they rushed for 125 yards and two touchdowns. And they were led by Tyler King, wide receiver, six catches, 196 yards, and four touchdowns. This is going to be a tough matchup for Brevard, but if they win, it says big things, in my opinion. Derek, what do you think?
Yeah, I think Knoxville Catholic gets the win here. It's tough to go from Brevard to Knoxville and win. Private school ball in Tennessee is pretty good usually. And, you know, secondaries in Western North Carolina, they don't have to deal with, you know, the air raid like they do over there. So I think Knoxville Catholic wins this one.
Who did Carson pick?
Carson likes Brevard.
All right, Pat. Well, who do you like?
Well, being that I am a homer for Western North Carolina, I am going to ride the Brevard train. I think they're going to get it done.
Lewis?
I'm going to go Knox Catholic. Brevard not looking as good as they were last year. Knox Catholic probably going to be pretty decent.
Wait, you think Brevard didn't look as good? They just blew out Pisgah.
Yeah, but I think that has a lot more than – I think there's a lot more that's not being told there.
Okay.
Maybe Pisgah not as good this year.
I'm going to ride the Knoxville Catholic as well. I do believe Brevard a really good football team, and I'm looking forward to seeing them the rest of the year, but I do think Knoxville Catholic wins. So next up, Hendersonville at West Henderson. Last year, West Henderson wins this game 44-0. Both teams 1-0 as Hendersonville beat North Henderson 20-7. No stats on that game. As we interviewed the West Henderson coach, Pat, you remember he talked about how important it was to win the county championship.
Indeed. That was a big deal in that interview.
So West Henderson, of course, scored 51 last week. They are given 27. So Hendersonville getting 27 points here. Derek, what do you think?
Yeah, I like West Henderson to cover. I think the running game, you know, gets them rolling, and they get ahead and pound the rock early and often.
Lewis?
I'm going to go Hendersonville.
Okay. Any reason? Just you like Hendersonville?
I think West is probably not as good a team this year, but I think Hendersonville might be bouncing back from last year. So I think I'm going Hendersonville.
Who'd Carson pick?
Carson is going West Henderson.
All right.
But he didn't detail why. He just said.
Well, we just got to take what we got, I guess.
Indeed.
Pat?
I, too, am going to get on the West Henderson train. I picked up quite clearly what you did, Mike, which is the coach said that the winning that county championship was a very, very big deal. And I think he's going to get that pedal down, and he's going to hold it down on the floor and make a statement.
Yeah, I think West wins by more than 27 here. Lewis, you might pick up another one. We'll see. We'll see.
Can't wait till next week.
So, up next, the My 40 game of the week, Raven Gap at Christ School. Last year, they played twice, once regular season, once playoffs. First game was 42-21, Raven Gap. Second game, Raven Gap also won 56-17. Raven Gap scoring, they're already played two games, they're 1-1. They're averaging 31 a game while giving up 15.5. They're led by their running back, Anthony Quinn, and their quarterback, Gavin Owens. Big up front, swarming defense. They got a lot of D1 guys. Christ School, we talked about earlier, they're led by defense. They're going to slow the game down. They're going to limit possessions for Raven Gap and see what happens. Before we do our picks, I have a couple questions for Derek. Derek, you ready for these?
Yeah, let's do it.
So as a coach, you played on Sunday in the middle of the day in 90-degree heat. You got to play again Friday. What does that do? Normally these kids getting Saturday, Sunday off to recoup. What do you think about playing midday Sunday?
Yeah, it's going to be it's going to be interesting for both for, you know, the players and the coaches. I know when I was coaching at Reynolds, Sunday was our combined prep day. We'd all go in, you know, 2 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon, spend 2 or 3 hours, you know, developing a game plan. And I'm sure, you know, with technology now, obviously you can get film, you know, whenever. So the coaches may not be as impacted, but it throws you out of your routine. And, you know, football players, they're creatures of habit. So when something gets thrown off, you know, things tend to kind of go a little haywire.
Would you expect a couple of recovery days, or you think you roll right back into practice Monday?
Yeah, you know, you may see, you know, a heavier Thursday. I know Thursday was typically our walkthrough day, but you may see, you know, just shells, which is just, you know, helmets and T-shirt and shorts on Monday, kind of walk through what they have installed, and then kind of pick it up Tuesday, Wednesday, have a heavier Tuesday, Wednesday, and then, you know, try and get their legs back underneath them on Thursday. But that's, you know, that's the battle of, you know, playing that Sunday game for national exposure.
Yeah, when ESPN calls, I guess you answer.
Yeah, for sure. And anytime you get to play a school like Baylor, you know, you don't turn them down.
What do you guys think about the ESPN TV money? I mean, you think they do like profit sharing like they do with the college teams?
I'm sure they probably give them a check, but it's probably nothing remotely close to the revenue that they generate.
Definitely money involved. I mean,
I know, but like we were talking with Travis, like when App State went D1, they started getting all the contracts. Like there's huge money coming in, so you think like a game on ESPN has to be profitable for you?
Yeah, but it's. In college, that's done through the conference. So all the it's whatever conference you get into, because ESPN doesn't deal directly with the school. The only one that does deal directly with their own TV contract would be Notre Dame, because they're independent.
Mm.
But, you know, I'm sure they give them a check. But, you know, everybody doesn't like to play on TV because they think, oh, God, it's going to kill my gate and this and that and this and that. Well, I guarantee you, when you watched that game on Sunday,
packed.
Baylor school showed up and showed out because they all wanted to be on TV. And it's the same thing, you know, if a local station is covering. If it's a good game, high school football fans are going to want to go to the game. It's just another opportunity for grandma or grandpa that's, you know, probably not going to go to the game anyway to sit and watch their kid, or, you know, try and draw some people in that's, you know, not going to watch otherwise.
Talking to Coach Walker, something else a TV game does for you, you look good. You have the announcer say, this guy's going to this D1 school. Yeah, this guy's going to this D1 school. Well, a really good football player who's playing somewhere else says, hey, they got D1 guys coming to their school. And I think it helps as a recruitment tool to bring better players in.
100%. I think, you know, he talked about it, you know, when Caden had the good game at the Under All-American. They said, oh, this guy goes to Christ School in Arden. Here they come, boys. Yeah. Here they come. Everybody wants to be, the All-American. You know, it can't hurt.
So, Christ School getting 31 in this one. I guess we got to make some picks. Carson, who did Carson pick?
Carson is going with Christ School, it looks like.
Lewis?
I'm also going Christ School. I think they are going to slow the game down enough. And both of those games previous last year, and I feel like Christ School's got better this year, we're pretty close to that. So,
Derek?
Yeah, I think Christ School covers. Raven Gap coming off the short week. You know, like you said, Christ School's wanting to slow it down. Only thing that does worry me is if it does snowball on them and they get behind early, you know, then they got to do some things that they're not very comfortable with. And you know, you never know. You may see the quarterback come out and ball out and throw it up to 13 and then connect on some of those deep shots that you were talking about. And we may see a slugfest on Friday night.
There was some talk we were a little vanilla on purpose Friday. We'll see. Pat, what do you think?
Well, being that I haven't seen Raven Gap play, but I've heard you guys all hype them up and send the video out of the actual line that's, like, bigger than the Alabama line, I'm taking Raven Gap.
Okay. That's fine.
No offense.
No, man. No offense taken. Take whoever you want to take. I'm going to take Christ School. I think they do cover. I think they slow it down enough to cover the 31. I do, unfortunately, think Raven Gap wins this game, but I would like to see Christ School compete. So next up, Asheville High 1-0 headed to Providence Day, who's also played two games. They're 1-1. Of course, Asheville High led by the player of the week, Josh Ellis, last week. Meek Slidell suffered a minor injury before half last game. I do hear he's playing this week, that everything's good to go there. Providence Day beat Trinity Christian 55-8, then lost to Weddington 13-7. They're led by UNC commit Zade Lott, quarterback who committed to Carolina before he ever started a game at Providence Day. They're also led by David Sanders, the offensive and defensive lineman going to UT. They have multiple D1 commits, and they are giving Asheville 45 points.
I don't know if you know this number, but how many of Providence Day's starting 22 has a D1 offer?
I don't know that number.
I mean, it's a majority of them, though, right?
I would say half.
Yeah, at least 50%.
Right.
Probably more.
I think more than 50.
Yeah.
And some of the backups. I mean, a prime example, this quarterback. He committed last year before he even started a game.
Yeah, yeah.
Early this year.
Providence Day is the real deal. They play in Carolina Stadium all the time. I'm still going to pick Asheville High.
So you think Asheville stays within 45?
45. I mean, 45 is a tough number.
I will say this. Last year, the score 47-7 Providence Day.
Yeah. I mean, Asheville, I think they're going to get within the 45. 45 is a tough number with our rule system.
No, it is. I agree. Pat?
I'm going to go Raven Gap. I'm not Raven Gap.
Raven Gap. You're going to win this game, too?
I'm going to go Providence Day.
Oh, man.
Let me go Providence Day.
Pat, you've been drinking early?
Well, you know, I've got to have something that'll...
So you can tolerate us?
Juices going. And tolerate you, and that's very true.
Who did Carson pick?
Carson decided also to join me on the Providence Day bandwagon.
I think he said he's not going to pick Asheville all year. I'm not sure, though.
That's what I heard.
Derek, what do you think?
You know, Providence Day is, you know, all respect in the world to Court and what he's got going on over there. They got a good football team, but they are not on Providence Day's level. But I will say, you know, like we talked about earlier with Christ School, they're going to try and slow the game down. They're going to stay in 12 personnel. They're going to try and run the ball and just keep it close and watch their guys compete. And if Providence Day wants to win by 45, they'll win by 45 or more. But I don't think that's their MO.
Hopefully they're not listening to
this. Yeah, I know. And I think Asheville stays within that 45.
I also think Asheville stays within 45. I've seen Providence Day kind of keep it out of the running clock situation to get some of those other guys in there who are still really good. So, but I think Asheville stays within 45. They stayed within 40 last year. I think they stay within 45 this year. So next up, TC at East Rutherford. TC 0-1, currently no stats. East Rutherford 1-0. They beat the powerful Bessemer City 45-0. East Rutherford had 130 yards passing and 2 TDs, 169 yards rushing, 2 TDs. They had a running back, Pinkerton, who had 16 carries for 115 yards. Listen to this defensive line. The defense had an interception, 3 fumble recoveries, a block punt, and a safety. They're getting 35. I mean, clearly, Lewis, you're thinking East Rutherford is going to cover here.
I am thinking that.
Are you really?
I think with TC's offense, I think it's hard to get a 35 gap on someone because, you know, they're just running the ball.
Last year, 56-6 TC.
Yeah. I'm still going East Rutherford here.
All right. Derek?
Whoever set this line did a fantastic job because I'm 50-50. I'm going to go Robertson today. I think they right the ship. East Rutherford's coming off a season where they, I think, you know, they didn't do as well as they wanted to. But, you know, I think Robertson rights the ship here, and they get the ground game going, score early and often.
Is East Rutherford in the team you talked about, Owen scrimmaged last year, and they didn't want to have contact? Was that them?
That might have been them.
It was them, yeah. I think there was either the year before that, they didn't have a varsity program.
Right.
Yeah, so – maybe they're rebuilt, but time will tell.
Who did Carson pick?
So Carson, like me, because he and I think simpatico there, are both on the TC train. And because past performance is not indicative of future results, I do think it bears out that what you all were just talking about with last year's contest.
So this is the third game I'm the only one picking?
Well, I haven't picked yet.
Okay. Where are you going, Mike?
I'm going East Rutherford. I think they do cover the 35. TC wins this game
for sure,
going away.
For sure.
East Rutherford keeps it within 35. You're right. TC, no points last week. They don't run a fast-paced offense. I think they can hang with them. We'll see. It could be a get-right game. They could score 56 again.
They could.
So I guess we'll find out. So these next two, in my opinion, are probably the two games of the week, Western North Carolina.
Agreed.
100%.
At least one of them will be a good game.
So the first one, Irwin at Mount Heritage. We've heard Mount Heritage loaded this year. They won 54-0 over Chase on Friday night. They're led by senior quarterback Brandon Quinn. He was 7 of 9 for 71 yards through the air with a touchdown. He also rushed it 8 times for 62 yards and a touchdown. 12 people rushed the ball for Mount Heritage last week for a total of 452 yards and 7 touchdowns. Irwin, they passed it for 175 and 3 touchdowns, rushed it for 271 and 3 touchdowns. Pretty balanced attack. Last year, Mount Heritage wins this game 38-28. Derek, what do you think?
Yeah, I think this is a good gauge for both teams. I think Mount Heritage, you get to see, you know, if they can handle the speed that Irwin's got, and vice versa for Irwin. Can they handle the ground and pound that Mount Heritage is gonna dole out on Friday night?
And Mount Heritage is given 12, so gotcha. Irwin getting 12.
Gotcha. So it's, I mean, this is another toss-up, and I think it's going to be an identity game for both teams. But I like Mount Heritage to win and cover on Friday night. You're playing in Burnsville. It's a tough place to play.
Tough place.
Joey will have his boys right.
Pat?
I am going to hitch my horse to Coach Pruitt and the Warriors, and they're going to get it done.
I think so.
I do. I think that quarterback is seasoned well and is matured a little bit. I think he's got a good line in front of him. I think they're going to get it.
Irwin's weak spot for years, defense.
Mm-hmm.
Mount Heritage rushed for 452 yards last week. That's a lot of yards.
It is.
A lot of yards.
I'm holding fast. You're not changing my mind, Mike.
But I think Irwin wins. I think Irwin. Mm. I don't think Irwin just covers. Irwin's shocking some people this week.
I think so.
And they're winning.
I'm with you.
I'm taking Irwin.
If Irwin wins, you know they're gonna be challenging the top three for the top three. Then maybe even winning the conference if they win this one. It's an identity game, a momentum game for them. It'd be a fun one to watch.
Pat, who did Carson pick?
Carson would like to make his opinion known about Mountain Heritage.
All yeah, right. So I'm with Derek and Carson on that. Like Mountain Heritage, the linemen are just built like Pat, but athletic.
What are you saying? Pat's saying? Not athletic.
Pat is not athletic.
I'm svelte. I'm chiseled like a Greek Adonis.
You don't run 400 yards without having a fantastic line, and I think Irwin might be struggling with that. And Mountain Heritage is going to pick that win up and cover the 12.
Mm-hmm. Mm, this is going to be a good one.
It will be.
If I could go to a game this week, I think that's the one I'd go to.
Yes.
I would not because I don't like going to Mountain Heritage.
It's a long drive. I got to go up there tomorrow.
It has nothing to do with the drive, Pat.
All right. So next up, we've got Reynolds at Shelby. Last year, Reynolds wins this game 28-21. We talked earlier about Reynolds and their struggles on offense. Shelby beat Kings Mountain last week. A little bit of surprise, 32-16. They're led by their quarterback, Land Farmer. He's 16 of 32 for 251 yards through the air, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 2 running backs over 100 yards. Senior running back Tristan Tate had 23 carries for 111 yards and 2 touchdowns. Sophomore wide receiver had Tyler Morgan had 4 receptions for 103 yards and 2 touchdowns. So just 1 running back over 100. Can't read my own writing. This is a pick 'em. Nobody's getting points here. Pat, go ahead and give us your pick.
So, yeah, Shelby did beat Kings Mountain, and that's a big deal, without a doubt. But Kings Mountain last year had the 85 Bears defense, without a doubt. And I think they lost a majority of those to graduation, or lost a bunch to that graduation. Now, that doesn't give a reason. Obviously, I didn't see the game. I have no idea. I am still very faithful in Max Guest and Eli Hamrick and that Reynolds offense figuring it out. And with what Coach Craig was able to do with his defense – last week, I'm going to stick with ACR. I'm still on the train.
I'm very surprised. Not really. Lewis, go ahead and pick.
Well, when you talk about offensive struggles and all of that, and the team you probably don't want to face when you're having offensive struggles is Shelby. They're obviously going to be big and fast up front. Their secondary is always very athletic. I think there's going to be very few points put up by ACR, and Shelby's going to come away with the win.
Carson, pick 2.
Carson is also picking Shelby, but again, he does not share why.
He should have wrote a paragraph for each, don't you think?
I think what he did is he put all these names in a hat, and then he picked them out randomly. I think that's what he did.
Derek, what are you thinking?
Yeah. You know, I was talking with you about it a little bit earlier today. I think you're going to see Max's touches go up. Obviously, you want to keep handing that guy the ball.
But does Max get outside? Because Max is phenomenal when he's one-on-one or in space. But does he get the chance to get outside?
That's the question. You know, that's why they play the game on Friday. You know, we can sit here and, you know, bloviate between the four of us all we want. But until they get out there on the lines or in between the lines, you know, we don't really know. And I think the last time a healthy Max Guest was playing against Shelby, he ran through him like a hot knife through butter.
He did.
And I think they do it again on Friday night. I think the Kings Mountain offense, you know, they're trying to play two quarterbacks again, and, you know, it's just not good. And they still scored, you know, two, three touchdowns on them. I think, So I think
16, 32 to 16.
32, 16, okay. So I think Reynolds gets it rolling, Max gets rolling, and maybe Eli gets some protection and can start slinging it a little bit.
So last year, 28-21 Reynolds. I'm not sure, to be honest, guys, who I want to pick here. I'm totally on the fence. But I think Shelby wins this one at home. If it's at Reynolds, I may be picking Reynolds. But Shelby at home, I think Shelby wins. I think it's gonna be close. And I said this last week, but I mean it this week. Could be a high-scoring game between two teams.
Yeah.
I think Reynolds figures it out on offense. I don't have a lot of faith in Shelby defense. Of course, I haven't seen it this year, but in the past, their defense has not been fantastic. So I think this could be a shootout. This is a 35-32 type football game, and if it comes down to a field goal, Reynolds has probably got the edge, but I'm still taking Shelby.
Reynolds does have an amazing field goal kicker.
Yeah, he is good.
Indeed. So that's the picks. I'm pretty sure I got them all right. I don't know about you guys.
I'm sure I did.
So, Friday night. Where's everybody going to – where are you going to be, Lewis?
I will be at North Buncombe.
At North Buncombe. Are you going to be – you going to go by Carson's first?
I might go by Carson's for a little pregame, and then we both might head up there. Who knows?
So, Derek, what are you thinking?
I think I'm going to go hang out with you and watch Raven Gap and Cry School.
Oh, yes. Pat?
I, too, am going to join in on the Mike Anderson tailgate that's just going to be legendary.
Did everyone hear that? Pat will be at Christ School Friday.
I will.
You're not driving to Shelby?
I'm not driving to Shelby.
I thought you were a Rocket fan.
I am a Rocket fan. Are you doubting that?
Actions talk more than words.
Indeed.
So I'll be at the Irwin Mount Heritage. I'm just kidding. I'll be at Christ School. And there's some good games this week. I know I'm looking forward to it. What did we not talk about that we need to?
Well, I have a beef, and it's a question for you guys. Kind of a fun question, but kind of a bit of a beef.
Go ahead.
So my question – so here, I like beer. I've invested in at least 30 years in my physique with beer consumption. So I expect dividends to be paid off here, right?
Hence the Moderno.
The Moderno.
Isn't that what you're on the shot?
Oh, that's Mounjaro. Oh, Moderno was the COVID vaccine.
Okay. Which he also took, I'm sure.
He did do that.
All and seven
it,
doses.
And if you didn't take it, he would let the government know about
that's
it.
That's right.
Agony. I was thoughtful for you gentlemen. I won't ever be thoughtful for you all again.
In case you don't know this, Pat turned us into the government because he was around us and he had COVID.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Amazing.
That's what we thought. I thought our friendship was over at that point.
It might be now. I mean, I've had about enough of you. Anyway,
go ahead. Give us what you got.
It's not about quantity anymore. That was when I was young in college. It's about the quality of the beer. And you get good quality beer here in Asheville, right?
Absolutely.
So I go through the seasons. Like if it's warmer months, you've kind of turned me on to like the hazies and the lighter beers. And then as you get into the colder months, you get into the darker, more fuller and into the stouts, that thing, right? Well, I like an Oktoberfest beer. I do. But I noticed that the Oktoberfest beers came out at the beginning of freaking August this year. And it really angered me. And I was going to protest and not get any of the Oktoberfest beer because I need to wait till September. But then it occurred to me, wait a minute. Some of these smaller brewers are going to put out what they're going to put out. And if I don't grab it now, I'm not going to get it.
Right.
So I had to break down and go get it. So I'm curious, do you guys have an opinion about when Oktoberfest beer should be released, or if it should just be a year-round beer?
I think it should be Halloween.
That's the end of October.
I know. You can't have it until Halloween.
Why?
Because then you're leading into the months with the dark beer. I mean, that's like the time frame. Halloween is the time frame for it. I don't think it should be year-round. It's just but what they did this year is they released it when Starbucks started doing their pumpkin spice
stuff.
Yeah,
it seems that way.
Pat is also a pumpkin spice lover.
I am not a pumpkin spice lover.
When the wife goes to Starbucks, she'd be like, hey, will you grab me an Oktoberfest on the way back? That's why they did it this year.
Well, I'm not a fan. When do you think Oktoberfest? You don't even drink beer anymore.
I don't, but I mean, Oktoberfest, I would think October 1st.
Okay.
Oktoberfest. Then you can run it through mid-November, almost up to Thanksgiving.
Yeah, and the Cold Mountain release,
yeah, then
right?
The Cold Mountain release. That's kind of how it works.
Well,
yeah.
I think, you know, in America.
Here we go.
Fall starts when football starts. I feel as though this is the perfect time
to
release your Oktoberfest. Yes. Bring it on.
In August.
Bring it on.
He's right. He's right.
This is America, last I checked.
When I went out,
I think Derek is right, maybe.
I went out Sunday morning to cook breakfast on the griddle. Wind was blowing. It was 57 degrees. Oh. I'm like, it's fall.
It's wonderful.
And Luke said, it's August. I'm like, no, it's fall. It's fall. So, yes, I'm not. I think Derek may hit it on the head.
I think he did.
Maybe so.
And we're going to have a good time at your tailgate, right?
It will be fun. If you'd like to come to Christ School, you can tailgate with us.
Admission is free.
Mission is free. No charge.
They don't worry about gate charges there.
We're also on TV, My40, if you'd like to watch it.
There you go.
And I bet you the AD ain't flipping out about it.
Shelby has a live stream on YouTube, correct?
They do. Well.
Yeah, they do.
KTC, is that them? It's either them or Burns. I can't remember.
Yeah, so Shelby's got a live stream, I believe, that you can watch. It might be Burns.
Yeah, I think.
It's free as well.
Kings Mountain, I know, has their own network.
Yeah,
they do
on YouTube.
So maybe it's not Shelby, but that ought to be.
No, Shelby does it as well.
You can find. I think KTC does the other Cleveland County schools, and then Kings Mountain has their own.
And I'm working with Huddle now to try and figure out how to get the live stream for the Reynolds subscribers on the Huddle thing for be able to watch their live stream. I think that's going to happen. I can't promise it yet. But I'm on learning curves. So.
What are you promising? I'm confused.
Yeah, I'm not following.
So there's a way potentially, unlike with the you could with the NFHS network, you could log in. If the school had it, you can see whatever. That's not the case with the Huddle system, and people have been wondering, well, can we watch the away games, that kind of thing. And if they're running the Huddle system down there, which Shelby is, I've already confirmed that, and there is a way, potentially,
you could do the broadcast, can't you?
Well, I don't think I can do the broadcast unless I'm at Shelby, and I'm not planning on going to Shelby, but I think there's a way to get the live stream that Shelby does on their Huddle to our subscriber base, but I've got to learn how to do that.
So if you have any complaints about the new streaming service for Reynolds,
please
call Pat Pohl.
Do not.
828.
No. Do not. Don't you dare call me. Gosh.
If you have any questions on pricing, please call Pat.
Do not. I had nothing to do with that at all. Zero.
You're welcome, Pat.
Thank you, gentlemen. Very helpful.
Guys, this has been fun. It's nice getting together, talking some football. We're on week two already.
Amen. Fun stuff.
It'll go fast.
So, well, guys, till next time. We're going to keep doing it every week. Until then, thanks for tuning in. We'll catch up with you. And let us know what you all want us to talk about on the social media. You know, text Mike or email the address or Facebook. How do people talk to us?
Have you been drinking?
No.
Okay. The email, behindthebeardwnc@gmail.com. You can also message us on Facebook or X or Instagram. Until next week, we'll see you then.